Hello and welcome to We're All Gonna Die and Other Fun Facts. Semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. I've only said that 80 times and I still can't get it right. This episode is entitled The Hardest Working Man in Hardcore. And it's about, well, basically Adam Thomas and all the bands that he's in and all of the work that he does and all the hardcore that he creates. So our guest for this episode is someone who knows something, I think, I hope, about all the bands Adam Thomas is in. We're going to see if he can list them all in a moment. Actually, Adam Thomas! Hey!
How's it going?
It's going all right, man. So welcome, thank you for doing this, and actually, yeah, first question. How many bands are you in right now?
I think six active bands at the moment.
Wow.
But I think there's maybe one or two kind of that's still... You know,
on hiatus.
Yeah, yeah.
Back burner. Simmering.
Exactly. Haven't officially called it quits, but I think that's...
Enough, the right show came along.
Exactly.
You're on it. So can you walk us through?
Yeah. I guess we've got Concealed Blade, Heavy Discipline, No Time... Empty Beings, Chronic Abuse, and Slip, maybe? I don't know. Still know. Dave's about to be a father, so...
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure.
Congratulations to
where
Dave,
that stands.
But yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are all the active ones right now. So...
Cool. And actually, speaking of actually one of the bands, No Time, my mind was sort of blown. The Hard Times.
Yeah.
With the No Time shout out.
Yeah. That was actually the second time that somebody's pointed that out to me. There was like a poster of a show that we played in Europe that made it into one of the articles as well.
Oh, wow.
A while ago. So, yeah, it's funny to see, you know.
That's really cool, man. So... I guess one of the things I want to think about, or I'm curious about in terms of, because also all the bands you listed, and I think I don't have the Chronic Abuse record.
I don't think anybody in the U.S. has it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, that's right. I think I'll listen to it on YouTube, though. They all have a different feel, they all have a different flavor, they all have a different sound. And even some of your old bands, like Blood Pressure, had a different sound.
Sure.
And I wonder, like, if you could talk to sort of... The thing I've been curious about is, and you know, do you, when you have like musical ideas or whatever, or when people come together in that room, how, like, do you find yourself thinking almost in sort of like different wavelengths, different paradigms? Like, oh, that's definitely an Empty Beings idea.
Yeah.
Or versus that's a No Time idea, that's a Concealed Blade idea. Like, how does that...
Sure.
How does that work?
Well, the way really it kind of comes together is like, I always think about it like there's like a band leader, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
There's like somebody. So for example, Concealed Blade, a lot of the riffs and the music, Flynn writes a lot of that. So I would consider him like the band, even though there's no leader per se, but you know what I mean?
You know, like, I know what you mean, yeah.
And then, so, and like, for No Time, that was kind of my thing. You know, I wrote a lot, almost all the music, the lyrics. And then, you know, Blood Pressure, a lot of that was Eric. And, you know, people have ideas and they throw it all in there and stuff. But I would say for the most part, that was kind of how it worked out. Empty Beings was a lot of Scud's creation. And I lived with Scud for a little while. So on the last record, he and I sat down and kind of wrote some stuff together. So maybe a little bit of the newer record, I had a little bit more of a say in that. But like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how it works out. But I mean, there's been times when, you know, I'll just sit around my house, play guitar, and I'll like, something will just come out and I don't know, it just kind of clicks. Like I automatically know what that would be for. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
That's really cool.
Because they're all different enough that...
Yeah.
I can kind of... You know what I mean? You can...
Well, I think... And that's what I think is so remarkable about what you're doing. Is that, yeah, you're in six active bands. And they're all... You know... And I will say I've had with a friend, like, the conversation, like, oh, what's the best Adam Thomas band right now? You know what I mean? And
oh,
then...
No.
And then I remember, I was like, oh, it's got to be blood pressure. And then there was a concealed blade show at Doc 5.
Okay.
And there's a really good video actually on YouTube of me getting completely steamrolled out of the pit in that. And we were like, when it was over, we were driving in the car. I was like, you know, I think concealed blade. Like, not that it's a competition and I enjoy them all, you know. But it was sort of like, you know, yeah. Oh, concealed blade, yeah. I underestimated that, man. I don't know. Yeah. You gotta, like, adjust the lineup now. Like, who bats third? You know, it's like, but
it's,
yeah.
It's funny because Concealed Blade came about on the No Time Hounds of Hate Euro Tour, and it was, hey, we're having a good time hanging out. We want to start, like, the dumbest band possible. Put the least amount of effort into this band and just make it fun and not serious, not even play many shows, just for fun, whatever. So we came back from the tour, and actually, Pills, I think throughout the tour, Pills was like, you know, for Hounds of Hate songs, he would sing along to the song, and they're like, oh, wow, Pills, you kind of have a good voice, like, for hardcore, you know? Like, well, maybe you could sing in this band. So we just threw it together. Literally, I think we wrote the demo in, like, a few days.
Wow.
And then just put the demo out there. And, like, we had no expectations of anything. You know what I mean? It was just supposed to be, like, a fun kind of side project to No Time and Hounds of Hate. And then it just kind of happened that way. So it's kind of funny because, yeah, like, you know, Concealed Blade definitely, you know, Beach Impediment asked us to do something. Like, so, like, it's just weird that, like, with a band that we were, like, put, I guess, maybe the least amount of effort into, kind of, like... You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, that's one of the things I think that's so liberating about punk as an idea.
Sure.
You know, is that, and yeah, I could talk about that Sid Vicious shit. You know, you don't have to play, but is that you don't have to be so fucking precious with it, and it doesn't have to be so perfect. And there's this, I think, a whole, like, tyranny of perfection that people live under. You know, because everything we do is just, or everything we encounter, like, in, like, the market is now, like, so perfect, you know?
And, yeah.
Like, you know, it's McDonald's one taste everywhere. Same taste everywhere in all things.
Sure.
And, like, that's so cool that you could do something in punk that's not precious and so freewheeling and, you know. So that is that, like, you would call that, like, the personality of Concealed Blade?
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
just make the stupidest band.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Flynn is a very smart guy. He handles the lyrics and everything. And I mean, lyrically, I would say he's a great writer. Mm-hmm. The band is not dumb.
Yeah.
On the lyrical front.
Yeah.
But I guess just like as far as just caveman riffs and just like. Slammable music and just ignorant ass, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
which I think it takes a kind of intelligence to pull that off. I mean, there's like, well, you know what I mean? There's like,
sure.
like what you're talking about, and then there's just stupid.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stupid shit in the world, and Concealed Blade's not stupid. But you know what I mean? To be self-consciously, purposefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like zero fucks given.
Yeah, just raw, and I mean, I think that's, is, I guess I'll speak for myself, but yeah, that was the attraction to punk and hardcore for me from the start was, you know, it's raw energy. And, you know, I, at the time when I was young, I latched onto that because, you know, I'm going to start a band. I was in a band before I even knew how to play an instrument. You know what I mean? Because it was just like, I don't really know. I don't need to know how to do this. You know, we're going to start a punk band and fucking piss people off, you know. that's what it was. So
what was like the genesis moment for you? What was the thing that was like, whoa, this is the best fucking thing ever?
Honestly, I think, you know, I was in like seventh or eighth grade, and I was like, I just kind of got into skateboarding. I don't even know how. I guess some of the neighborhood kids skated, and I was like, man, that looks like fun. And I think it was like the attraction for that was like they were like kind of bad kids, like the skaters in my town.
Yeah. Carrolltown.
Yeah. And there's
Carrolltown.
There's nothing going on. So I was like, these kids are kind of cool, you know? And so I kind of like got into that, probably because they were bad kids. And I was like, that seems way more exciting than being one of the good, you know what I mean?
What was that? Good kids of, what's that? Northern Cambria?
Cambria Heights.
That's right. Sorry, my Cambria knowledge is fading. But yeah.
So yeah, I got into skateboarding and then, you know, VHS skateboarding videos, all, you know,
had full soundtracks.
Punk music or heavy metal, and kind of just like, you know, would watch the video, same videos over a million times. Like the Sorry video had like Gray Matter, Burn No Bridges, and I remember like as the video was going, man, this like this music's kind of cool. And once the video was over, you'd see the credits, and I would have like a little notebook, and I'd write down bands. Yes. And there was like Napster was around, but I was downloading music and that sort of stuff. Or like my parents would give me lunch money, and I would just not eat lunch at school. I would save the money, and then like on the weekends I would like try to get to like. There was like the Galleria Mall in Johnstown.
Oh yeah.
And just go and buy like punk CDs and like just whatever looked cool. Like I didn't even know like half the bands. I'd get the CD, and then in those days like the CDs had the catalogs. So I'd get the catalogs and just fucking download or find and seek out every band in the catalogs. So
you know, young people today, not to do that line, but I think to think about like how precious things were back in those days, like, because I lived in Loretto, PA from 95 to 99, you know, and yeah, it was, you either got to the Galleria or you got
Coconuts.
To Coconuts and Logan Valley, or Coconuts across from Logan Valley Mall. Actually, want to hear a fucked up story?
Yeah, sure.
I interviewed for a job at Coconuts.
Really?
Yeah, because at the time I was the general manager of the St. Francis radio station.
Oh, okay.
And so if you could have heard me, if the transmitter could actually even be heard on campus, it was great. And we would do radio shows that people couldn't hear on campus. The speaker monitors in the studio had better range than our transmitter. And so it used to be this, like, we were at the top of one a classroom building, and it would be this joke to see if we could get the library to call to tell us to turn the speaker. And we were, like, across the mall.
Oh, wow.
And if the library front desk could call us, be like, you need to turn your fucking speakers down. Like, that was a good night.
Yeah.
You know? But so I was GM of the thing, and I was like, oh, I should probably get a summer job. I'm living here. Yeah, I have a car now. I can go. I would go to that store once a week anyway.
Sure.
And so I put my application in, and the guy was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know, I do programming and this, and I read, these are the magazines that I read, and, you know, this is what I buy from the store and all of that. And he goes, oh, that sounds really good. All right. Yeah, just one more thing. There's this, like, personality test that we got to do over the phone. It's just a formality. It's whatever. And they, you know, handed me a telephone, and the guy, like, dials this number, and he punches this secret code in, and he's like, okay, just use the pad on the thing. And and so I'm holding the phone in my ear, and it was like everything was pounder star. And like these super weird questions, and like being too smart for my own good, I started like thinking, oh, they're trying to figure out if I steal shit. Or they're trying to figure out if I'm actually going to show up. So it was all these questions like, true or false, star or pouch, star for true, false for thing. If you're feeling tired, it's okay to call in sick. And I'm like, meh, you know. And then I started like thinking, like, oh, well, they want me to say no. But then there were these like really weird questions that were like, you're not going to come in and shoot up the place, are you?
Whoa.
And so it was like, true or false, sometimes I feel like a rubber band that's been wound tight. And I was like, no. And then there were these control questions that, like, just to see if you were paying attention. So that was like, true or false, I've never taken a bath. And by that point, I was like totally fucked off and weirded out. I think I accidentally said I've never combed my hair or something like that. And they never called me.
What?
I finished and hung up the phone and I left. And then they never called my house. And I didn't go back to that store for like a month. Because I was like...
You burnt by it.
I was still burnt by it. It was so weird. Like... This
That's
like
bizarre.
Person. Yeah, it was so,
a record store, you know?
A fucking record store. But yeah, I guess I was gonna go in and shoot up the place. I guess you gotta figure out, you know, ask John. No, but yeah, but if you can get the coconuts, or go to the post office and get a fucking money order, if you like, could get something, you know, like,
yeah.
God, those old SST catalogs, man, the bands that were on that label,
yeah,
like.
I know, man. I was like a fucking sponge, dude. Like,
yes.
Everything. I liked everything. Once I found out about, like, Os Rotten and, like, they were, like, the big Pittsburgh band at the time, it just fucking dropped a bomb on my world, dude. I was, like, seriously, like, I've told this story to the members of Os Rotten, but it's, like, I thought those guys lived in, like, a fucking cave. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, I was like, this is, like, the most punk thing I've ever heard. Like, just, like, reading the lyrics and, like, all the...
Yeah.
You're just like... I was like, this is so far out, you know? Fucking just out there, man. There's no way these guys are living, like, a normal life. And then, you know, fast forward some years and you're just like, they're just normal, great
normal
dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like... but that was just... That, like... just shattered everything for me. That was a big one. And
yeah, because, you know, I remember living out there, like, how, and I came from New Jersey, which had, like, you know, my high school had like a lot of non-white kids in it, and we had kids who didn't even speak English in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then to end up in northern Cambria County, where not only is everybody white, but at the time everybody, all the boys wore khaki pants with a blue shirt. All the young ladies had shoulder-length hair they parted in the middle. I mean, you know what I mean? It was just like they just came...
Homogenous.
I'll tell you a fucking story, and I know I told this on this podcast before, and if any insane person's listened to all fucking 80 episodes of this, fuck them, man. Like, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Thank you for subscribing. But anyway, Danelle had gotten there before I did. And she was talking to somebody about the Clash. And they're like, the what? She's like, you know, the Clash. You know, the punk band, the Clash. Not heard of the Clash. Like an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, being college-educated motherfucker had never heard of the Clash.
Yeah.
In 1995.
I believe it.
That's so fucked up. And so I could imagine what that's like to have... your whole world wreck like that? Or, like, at least, like, here's an idea. You know, here's an idea of how the world is. Which, I mean, and again, I have friends who still live out there. In fact, do you know John Charney from Carrolltown?
Yeah,
we're buds. Yeah.
Whoa, John Charney?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It's bizarre, and, you know, and I know so many great people, but, you know... A lot of them have been like, this is the world. My family out there, I have family from Johnstown, this is the world.
Yeah, sure.
And then, oh man, to just get a better idea. Or something that's just so alien and so like, fuck this. Like,
yeah.
Which is also the great thing about punk, is you get to that age where you realize the world's fucked.
Sure.
And then there's, oh, but here's another idea. It's such a better fucking idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, can you ever be sane again after that? Can you ever
no.
be normal again after that? Can you ever shut that fucking door?
No, it's kind of a curse, you know? It's a blessing and a curse. Because, like... Yeah, I mean, a lot of this early stuff, like I said, like, just changed my worldview. You know, I was, like, very impressionable, like, at that age, you know?
Yeah.
So, just, like... You know, I was, like... just fucking going to school and like with this like new knowledge, you know what I mean, like this like secret knowledge from where I'm at, and just like fuck everybody, you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
Like for once it just didn't matter. And I wasn't like, I never had like too much trouble in school. I wasn't like a super, super bad kid. Like I never did drugs or anything. Yeah. Like I never really was like a bad kid. I was, well, my parents would probably tell you a different, but you know what I mean? I was like a bad, like I did, I kind of just, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't like a super bad kid looking back. I wasn't like a great kid to like my family and stuff, which like, you know, now that I'm older, it's, you know, different. It's different, but yeah. So, but,
once you got to live your own life, you know, right? I mean, that's the other thing, being young, how much real control do you get over your environment? Sure. And even just what you do every day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm so happy I'll never be young again. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, okay, I was a lot more fit back then. But, yeah, you have no control over what you do.
But I wanted it. And that's and that was my thing, is like, once I discovered that, I was like, I'm just going to take it, you know? And that was like the main point of struggle with my youth, with my family, is like, I just kind of, like, you know, whatever I was wanted to do, I was gonna do, you know, and like, you know, but
I mean, did the music freak out your family? I mean, I know my generation, we had like the Satanic Panic, and I remember having a meeting in the kitchen with my mom that she called over my Faith No More tape.
Oh wow.
And that, you know, is this gonna get you in the sorcery? Which is like such a lame ass fun. And I was like,
sorcery.
I was like, this isn't about wizards and shit. Yeah. But, you know, actually, there are bands that have written about wizards and shit. You want to hear them? No, yeah. I didn't know. But yeah, was that like a thing? Even like, oh, what is this music doing? No,
yeah. I mean, they weren't like, cause like, I played soccer for like, you know, like 16 years or 17, whatever it was. And I think like the last 2 years of high school, I like stopped just like out of the blue. Cause I was like, I'm in a band and like, I want to do that instead. And I think they were like, they were bummed cause I wasn't doing like, you know, like the wholesome organized stuff. Sports, you know, wholesome, like the shit I'm supposed to do. And, yeah, they were like, they weren't like entirely supportive, but they weren't like, yeah, maybe they were concerned, but yeah, I think the only thing is, and now is like the resentful, like they're like slight, like my mom's like slightly resentful just missing all like the family shit to like go on tour or something, you know what I mean? Just like always like, or like, you know, I'm not very good at organizing or managing my life, so like my mom call me up and be like, oh, hey, are you coming to this, like, family event? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I have a show that night. Like, shit. If I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, which is, like, just bad. I'm, like, bad at planning my life. You know, but I've missed some stuff, and I guess they're, like, my mom is slightly resentful. But I think they're, like, kind of supportive. But I don't think that they understand really anything really about it. They've never, like, gone to a show. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't think that they understand.
Yeah.
But then they're, like, kind of confused. They're like, oh, wow, you've been to Europe 8 times. Like, how does that happen? You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah, which, yeah, I was so envious. The last pictures of the chronic abuse tour.
Oh, yeah,
I was like, oh, this has been so much fun. And here I am, you know, teaching these classes. But I think you say you're bad at organizing your life, but you are in 6 active bands.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gotta have some fucking skill, or like a Google app or something, right? I mean,
I'm probably the fucking worst, you know? Like, I mean, it somehow works out, but yeah, it's consumed a lot of time, and over the year, you know, I mean, over the years, just put a fucking ton of work into it, but you know.
Thus the name, The Hardest Working Man in Art.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't know if I can.
I don't know if, well, I mean, I'm so, one. You know, because I do like a one band thing, and even that is like, I haven't practiced in 2 months, you know, and I was like going to join a band last year, from the 17, 18, whenever the hell last year was, and I was like, wait, you guys want to practice every week? I was like, Yeah, I'm still learning these songs. Why do you have somebody else? And they have a much better setup arrangement than I could have ever given them anyway. But,
gotcha, okay.
But I was like, you guys want to practice every week? Like, every week? You know? But I think it shows, though, because I think, like, in all the bands are good.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I don't think I'm an Adam Thomas completist in my discography. I think there's probably... Well, I definitely don't have the Chronic Abuse record.
Okay.
I can
get you one. I mean, there's none right now, but I might have an extra at the house, maybe.
Oh, don't worry about it. It'll come around.
There were only 200 press, so it's not like a...
Oh, okay.
There was supposed to be another pressing of it, and it just... There's some shit that happened with it, but... Yeah, I mean, it maybe will get a repress, but...
But, so, actually, how did Chronic Abuse come about? Because I think that's the one that I think is interesting. It says you guys recorded that record not on the same continent.
No.
Yeah, so how did that work? What's the origin story there?
It's interesting. I met Tim about 10 years ago with one of my old bands in Europe. And we've kind of just kept in touch, you know, through the internet and stuff, and he put out a No Time record on his record label, and you know, so just like going over there with other bands, kind of got to know him, and he just, long story short, he just hit me up out of the blue, was like, hey, I have these songs I'm working on, I'm gonna record them in like, I think it was like a week or something, no, maybe it was, he's like, I have these songs, whatever, I'm working on them, and you want to sing on them? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I was just like, immediately, yeah, sure. It seems like very low stress. I mean,
yeah.
Turned out that it was kind of stressful because I suck at writing lyrics. And it's like, I was writing, I think, like, I had to write, like, 23 songs or something at this particular time. Because I was, like, writing for the Blood Pressure record, and I was writing, I can't even remember. Maybe it was I guess it was the No Time stuff. Maybe a lot of it never got released. But anyways, yeah, so immediately was like, yeah, sure, this sounds like fun. He told me what he was going for, and, you know, I don't even know the timeline, but he sent over the tracks, the music. I was like, oh, cool. So immediately just started writing. Yeah, it was like a little bit of a dry spell. I wasn't feeling inspired, but then it finally came about. I recorded with Dave at the Braddock Hit Factory, sent him over to him, and then it got released on Amok Records, which actually has a fucking awesome... It's a German punk label that existed in, like, I think 88, 89. I just recently met the guy when we were over there, and he was in a band called Grinning Kids, which is like a late 80s German hardcore band. There's like, on the cover, he's like jumping in the air. It's like he sang in the band.
Yeah.
And they're a fucking killer band. And he's put out some cool shit. So he asked us, the label has been kind of on hiatus for a while. Hasn't been active. And he was like, he hit Tim up about wanting to put that out and start doing it again. So he was putting out our record and then the new Out Cold record. So I was like, I mean, the dude's got good taste. So I was like psyched about it. But yeah, so the record came out. And then I think we just were like, let's fucking get a band. Because he was like, he played all the instruments. So he's like, man, we need like a band. Like, so we can do a tour. Oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's fucking do a Euro tour. That'd be fun. I was like, getting the itch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we planned this tour, and we just put together a band, and for me it was easy. It was an obvious choice. Tom, you know, Tom's played in bands with him for over 10 years now, so I knew he would do it. I hit him up. Yeah, of course, you know, he's down. And then Tim, this is the coolest part of the story, I think. Our bass player, Dasha, she's from Siberia. And she grew up in an area where there was just no fucking hardcore. Like, no punk, nothing. So she started a band and learned how to play every instrument in her hometown. And since nobody played, she was like, I'm just going to learn everything. and she had a band called Big Boss, and we found out she was moving to Germany, or she lived in Germany. So Tim was like, I never met her, but I know she's filled in for like bands. She's like a good musician. So he's like, I'm thinking about asking her if she wants to come on the tour. And I was like, yeah, yeah, of course. Like, I knew Big Boss because my girlfriend was pen pals with Dasha for like 8 years now.
Oh my God.
So like,
God.
There's this weird like connection.
Wow.
But she'd never met Dasha either, but she's like been sending records back and forth with her for like 8 years now. So I'm like, yeah, that'd be totally cool. There's like a connection there. My girlfriend knows her. So
wow.
He asked her and she was like, yeah. And we just kind of just, we were like, let's just go for it. Like we flew, Tom and I flew across the ocean. We had like 3 days to practice before the tour. We just got there a little early and we just showed up and just played the songs. And it like, I mean, you know, we're like, man, this could suck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we didn't say it,
yeah.
But on the plane ride over, I'm like, man, what if this sucks? We have like this 2.5 week tour booked. You know what I mean? And like,
wow.
We've never played ever together. So, but it just like, Dasha showed up and, well, first me and Tim and Tom played through the songs because Dasha wasn't able to be there right away. And we played through the songs and it went pretty well. And then Dasha just showed up and we're like, okay, like, so what do you want to do? And she's like, just start from the beginning. She played them like almost perfectly.
Wow.
Like right from the beginning. Like she just learned them on her own and just came in and did it. So
that's fucking amazing, man.
So it was like a weird experience because you're like, you know, every time I've been on tour, it's like with my closest friends. So you know what to expect because you're like...
Yeah, and you've been playing together for a while and...
Exactly, but this was like... This was like a really... for me, it was a kind of a special moment because...
Yeah.
Like, first, we're scattered all over the place. We got a German, we got a Russian, and then me and Tom are from the States. So it was kind of a cool... It just felt good, like, to play with people and just... Kind of like the whole time I was like, man, I wonder if they think we're like totally fucking idiots, like me and Tom or whatever.
You know?
Or just like, are we annoying the fuck out of these people? Like, Dosh is very sweet and very quiet.
Yeah.
So like the whole time, kind of like, oh man, like, are we too much for her? And then like totally at the end of the tour, we were like great friends, and she was like, she even was like crying at the end of the tour because we all kind of were like, oh man, this fucking sucks. Now we got to go back and. Because it was really good. So that was about as good as it gets, I feel, with just kind of winging shit. You know, it kind of worked out in our favor. But it could have went the other way. But it really went well. So they're going to come over here next year.
Awesome.
I think we're going to maybe try to play like Skullfest and record an LP like here with everybody.
Oh,
so
wow.
Instead of just two of us, maybe do the whole band. But...
That would be awesome. Wow.
We don't know how, you know, it might be tricky with, like, just people coming here, you know. Who knows what the
political
climate's going to be.
Yeah, Jesus.
So, but she has been here. She studied here for, like, a few months in Providence. So it looks like it could probably work out.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
Shit's so touch and go.
Shit is so fucking weird right now.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. But yeah, so I remember a friend once telling me, like, you know, being in a band is like being married to four other people. And so how does that work? I mean, in terms of like the mood we don't have to get gossipy or anything. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, no.
The thinking about like all these different really intense relationships you have in clusters. Now, granted, there's overlap of people and bands and stuff like that. But
sure.
Like... Is that also, is it weird, like, if you're in the van or whatever, or at practice, like, how, is there, like, a band personality, or, like, can you keep track of all the different band inside jokes? Like, you gotta remember the song, but you also gotta remember the inside jokes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a personality, and there is, yeah, like you said, a lot of overlap, so it kind of works out, but, I mean... My philosophy for like on the road stuff is just I just try to stay out of the fucking way and, like, you know, read the vibe on... Because, you know, you're crammed in a fucking van. And, like, this tour particularly, we were in a very small van. Because it was, like, super fucking cheap to rent this van. So we...
Yeah.
It was, like, we were close quarters. But, I mean, seriously, I couldn't even give you any, like, negative gossip, even if I tried. There was no real negative vibes at all on this tour. It was like, it's just bizarre. And I mean, I've had my moments. We've all had our moments, like, on the road and stuff. But, like,
you're vulnerable, you're tired. Sure. You
get sick. But, like, honestly, pretty much the reason I'm playing with the people that I play with, and there is so much overlap, is because I know that they're fucking good for it. You know what I mean? I know that if I am in the van with Tom, that we just know the road, you know? He knows the road, and, like, everybody is down, you know? Like, so it's like, I guess that's kind of why I've kind of built these relationships with people, is, like, and they're the people I want to play music with, because it's just, like, there's that connection. You know, like, like, musically, obviously, but, like, also, like, when you get in the van, it's just, like, it's natural. No, everybody knows, like, you know, don't whine and complain, because, like, nobody fucking cares if you whine
and complain.
No, I mean, you know what I mean? Just, like...
No, I know what you mean. I mean, I think there's the way that, like, being in a band is about being responsible to other people and responsible to the concept and, like... How, I mean, you know, like, in, you know, those famous-ass bands that, like, even famous-ass bands that are still together and those people fucking hate each other.
Sure.
You know, and, like, it's so reasonable to understand why that could happen.
Well, there's no incentive for us to be on the road other than we want to play music.
Yeah.
And play, you know what I mean? We're not making fucking money. So there's no incentive other than that we love to play. And that's, so, like, for us, like, to be out there, if you're not having fun, then there's no fucking point in doing it. Because there's nothing else. It's not like we're the Eagles or something where we fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
But we're just going to stick it out because we're making making the dollar, you know?
Oh, yeah, I get, yeah, I saw a couple years ago, I saw Anthrax. It was, was it Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, and some other band. And, like, it was weird because, like, Exodus, you could tell they were having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And when Anthrax came out and played, the roadies couldn't talk to the other people. So, like, Scott Ian had a roadie. And if he wanted to say something to Joey Belladonna, Joey Belladonna's roadie came out and the two roadies met and conveyed the message. And then,
what a fucking joke.
You know? And I was like, wow, these people, like, they can't make this much money doing something else.
Yeah.
And that's why they're doing this. And that's why I'm standing here on a Tuesday night in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I got to drive home and I got work tomorrow.
Shit.
To see that. But, I guess Weezer was the same way. I have friends open for Weezer and they just all have handlers and they all have their own bus.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess when you get to that level, I just, like, for us, I mean, I you know, everybody has their idiosyncrasies, and, like I said, I just try to stay out of the way and not, you know, like, be conscientious of, like, because that's really what it comes down to, I think, being on the road is, like, just...
And I'm sure those idiosyncrasies get endearing.
Yeah.
Become endearing. You're like, sure. Oh, that's Dave.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, but I've been fortunate, like, the people that I've toured with, they all, for the most part, want to do it, and they want to be there, and they, like, they live the rocker lifestyle. Yes.
So what's some of the, like, is there something, like some of the craziest shit that's happened on the road? Like, maybe not necessarily, like, anybody's band's fault, but, like, just people being weird, or, like, wild shit happening at shows, or, like...
Yeah, there's been some crazy shit. So, Grand Junction, Colorado, and, like, the first band I was ever in, they fucking, these guys towed their friend's car. He was out of town in the desert and fucking lit it on fire. shot it with machine guns, made Molotov cocktails, threw them at this fucking car. And I was 18, so I was like, my mind was blown. So shit like that. And then,
holy fuck.
You know, one of my older bands, we played a show in Belarus, which was like the fucking craziest thing I've ever, still have ever done with music. And there was an armed soldier, like, or several armed soldiers in the back of our show with like machine guns. And just absolutely fucking crazy, you know. Like,
oh
we're
my God.
Like, we're playing a show, like, and singing songs like against them, and they're there. You know what I mean? We're like,
wow,
like,
and like they literally, have machine guns.
Yeah, they could literally apply every lyric of our band and be like directed at them. So it was like shit like that, and
So was the crowd able to act like a normal punk crowd, or did they just
yeah, yeah, there? it was bizarre. Oh, I mean, wow. People, but yeah, I mean, it's basically a totalitarian state. It was hard as fuck to get in there. We had to send our passports while we're on tour in Europe. We had to send our passports to the Belarusian embassy. So we were touring with no passports.
Oh my
god.
So
most of the places we were in were EU, so like we didn't have any trouble, but still, and like just getting in, they have to pay to get in. You have to get like health insurance or some shit. I can't remember. We had to pay. Wow. So like, yeah, that was like a pretty bizarre thing, but we had to hide our money because the police will bribe you. So we like unscrewed the handle on our Marshall cabs and put taped money in the cabinet and put it back on, because like everybody who was like,
wow,
when you go there, they're, you know, they might not let you in, they might try to like bribe you, be like, oh, give me some money and I'll let you in.
Yeah, I had a friend that worked for the U.S. embassy in Moscow for a couple of years, and every Friday they'd get pulled over by the cops, and the thing that they were instructed to do, or the first time she knew she was in a different landscape, was they got pulled over, and though the car had diplomatic plates on it, they could still haul you in, keep you there for like 6 hours, or you could crack the window about a centimeter because it's really cold out there, and you could take on a $20 American bill, slide it through that, and the police officer will come up, snatch the bill, give you a salute, and go back to their car. And that happened the first time. She's like, what the fuck was that about? And he was like, lack of money, it's Friday.
Damn. This is normal.
This is just what you do. This is how you handle that situation. You ever get pulled over, if you got a 20, slide it through the glass, and they'll let you go.
Well, that happened to us in Mexico, too. We got pulled over, and our driver, he's from Mexico, Diego. He's, like, the greatest guy in the world. And he just, like, gave the guy some money. And we were like, what the fuck just happened? He's like, yeah, it's just normal. Like, they didn't, I don't even know if they gave a reason why they pulled us over. They just pulled us over, and he was like, it's going to be worse if we don't give him the money. So he was like, we're kind of in a hurry, you know what I mean? So he just gave him some money, and we were on our way. But, I mean, we didn't have, like, that happened, I think, one time. We didn't have any other real trouble. Wow. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I should have been a little more prepared. But, yeah, that was... there's always something that fucks up, or you know, this last
band trouble.
Yeah, this last tour, we had a 11-hour drive from Italy to south of France, and fucking 2 hours in, it's like 3 a.m, we get a flat tire. And you can't fix the tires, I guess, in Europe, like on the highway, you're not allowed, it's like illegal. So we had to wait for the tow, and the guy's like in the States, they'll fucking tow your van. And, like, you'll sit up front with the driver in the truck or whatever. This guy was just like, get in the fucking van. And he lifted us up in the van and drove to the next exit and changed the tire with us up on the truck. It was bizarre. I mean, it was crazy. But it was pretty efficient. I mean, he got it done and we were back on the road. But, yeah, I mean, there's always something that happens. You know, with Massacre, one of my old bands, we got held at the border getting into Croatia, and they never let us in. They just held us there for like a while, and then they're like, it was before it was EU, and just like, you know, left us in limbo for a while just to tell us that they're not going to let us in.
Wow. Because
I guess we probably looked suspicious. Yeah, I mean, just there's always some wild shit Something always goes wrong. Punk touring, you know. There's, but, you know, I guess the reason you do it is I don't know, that it's, I guess I see it as like, keeps me going, you know, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know.
So I well, we're getting there on time. But I can't let you go. We can't get to the bottom five without maybe describing each band.
Okay, sure.
You know, for people who don't know.
Sure, sure.
You know, and of course there will be links to everything. There's going to be a lot of links when I post this on the website. Like, it's going to be crazy. But so if we can kind of just go through the list and maybe what the sound is, or what the contemporaries are, the comparables for each would be cool. Like, so I guess, yeah, well, let's start with, if we're talking a lot about Chronic Abuse.
Okay.
Yeah. So in terms of like, yeah, what's Chronic Abuse? How would you describe Chronic Abuse in terms of what, for friends of, or people who like?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sonically, I think that like when we started the band, we wanted to do like a more like kind of UK 82, or like an older like kind of the British punk, like, but not like the, you know, like the GBHs and like,
yeah,
you know, the One Way Systems and Skeptics and those kinds of bands. And so I think we somewhat accomplished that, but like, I can't really, like, I don't know how to sing any other way than what I do, so it always just kind of sounds like kind of caveman-y and like hardcore. I don't know how to do anything else other than that. So I can't really like sing, and a lot of those bands, they like, you know, actually kind of sing,
yeah,
or shout at least. So yeah, we were going for like a UK 82 style thing, and I think it definitely came out like hardcore. I guess it's all, it's an umbrella term, you know. It,
yeah, but, no, I feel you.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that was our main inspiration, was to do something like from that era. So just like the shitty like 1-2 punk beat with some catchy riffs, and try to write some hooks. I don't know. Yeah.
And so then we talked earlier, a little bit earlier, about Concealed Blade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I would say that, to me, and I know this is probably off point, but to me, it kind of sounds New York hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like, old New York hardcore. Like, I think Nick kind of sounds like the singer of Breakdown. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So, like, yeah, just, like, I would say definitely New York hardcore. We got, like, the Dive Bombs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of, like, Warzone or something when I hear that. It's definitely more noisy than that, and it's not, like, really uplifting or positive, like Warzone. But yeah, like New York hardcore, I would say, is a big influence for Concealed Blade, so I'm sticking to that.
Okay.
I don't know if that was actually what we were trying to accomplish, but to me it sounds kind of in that vein. So,
and so Slip,
Dave is a psycho, and I think, yeah, he's a maniac with writing. I would say for Slip, Black Flag is like the number one influence. It's always been Black Flag, like all eras of Black Flag, you know, like,
makes sense,
from the Keith Morris era, the, you know, catchy riffs, to like the later Black Flag where it's like dark and like almost metallic. I would say, yeah, I would say Black Flag, or even some of the stuff that we never released yet that maybe will come out, sounds a whole lot like Blast. So,
oh, wow.
Which cool. I'm very happy about.
That'd be cool. And, you know, you're saying Dave is going to be a father. You know, you could always do a Slip. You could always do full Black Flag and do an album that's a half instrumental, half Dave's spoken word.
Yeah. That, well, do not... I'm going to make sure that Dave does not hear this idea. Because we have to tell, like, in between songs when we play live, we're, like, all, like, you know, trying to get Jay to click into the song, or whoever's playing drums at the time, because the band's always, like, you know, it is what it is, but there's so many different members of Revolving Door, but we're always trying to get Dave to shut up in between songs. So if he catches wind about this, you know, you might
sorry,
plant something.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. No Time.
No Time. I guess. Yeah. I grew up loving like British oi music, the dumbest, catchiest. You know, Cockney Rejects and the Oppressed, and even like the 77 punk stuff, Menace, and all those bands. Always loved that shit. Grew up, so I would say that that is somewhere in between. Just like try to make it melodic and catchy. Blitz obviously was a big influence. Yeah, so just like I think it's a good mix of like glam rock or like pub rock, 77 punk, and like just oi music, I would say.
Heavy discipline.
Just straight Boston, like Boston 83, you know, like DYS, SSD. We like unapologetically wear those influences on our sleeve. Like there's no, you know, there's no mystery. That's just like, that was the influence for that band. We just love Boston hardcore. It's mean.
And yeah.
Jerry's Kids, Death Wish, all that shit. Like huge, huge fans. So I guess.
Empty Beings. Which, by the way, can I just say, who wrote the opening riff to Blameless? That gave me chills.
Blameless.
The first time I dropped the needle on that song, on that record, I fucking, my hair and my arms.
Blameless is the first song on the album, right? Okay.
I was like,
I don't even have a copy of that record yet.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, man. It's on red vinyl. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's like the most professional looking record that I've ever released. I would say, musically, to me, it's like surf, like mixed with like spaghetti western, mixed with like post-punk,
twangy guitar,
mixed with like rudimentary peni or like some like death rock. It's kind of all over the place, but like, I would say like Lou Miami or like TSOL, but like the darker TSOL, not even like the punk or hardcore era.
Yeah.
Like the Change Today era is kind of what it always sounded like to me. But I don't know. That's my best way to describe it is like.
So good though. It's all so good.
Thank you.
Did we miss one? Wait, was there anything else? We did it. Clamp, Concealed Blade, Empty Beings, Heavy Discipline. Was that 5 or 6?
I think that was it.
You know, and there were other great bands in Bathory I love, Blood Pressure and all that.
Thank you. So good.
And so, I just also make it clear for folks who don't know, like, you play guitar, bass, and vocals depending on the band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you are the Dusty Eric, House Rotten, Silent, Oh Shit, They're Gonna Kill Us, super group, you're gonna play drums in that band, right? Is that how that works? Is that how
I mean,
we saw that picture on Instagram?
I can attempt.
All right, well, you know. Hey, it's punk. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Learn how to do it.
I have a drum set in the basement, so.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, so, and I'll have links to, I don't know, I guess all the Bandcamp pages? Is that a place to go? Or
I think
how do
people
who want to hear these things?
Bandcamp or YouTube, probably.
Bandcamp or YouTube.
Yeah.
All right, I'll have links to all of them. And let's see, is that everything I want to do? Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So now, we might get this one in under an hour. It's time for the bottom five.
Okay.
Bottom five is a series of questions not related to our main topic that are of a surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready, Adam?
I'm ready to wax.
All right, question one. It's a question everybody gets the first time. It's the rookie question on the podcast.
Okay.
If reincarnation is real, and you had to come back as an infectious disease or illness, what kind of disease or illness would you like to be?
Oh, shit. Maybe, like, a common cold? Just so I don't, like, fuck shit up, you know what I mean?
That sounds good.
I guess
that's... It's disruptive.
Yeah.
And it has lots of... much like you, it has lots of variations.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But I wouldn't, like... You know,
you wouldn't kill anybody.
Crippling. I wouldn't kill anybody. I don't want to kill it. You know,
no, that sounds good. Common cold sounds good. Question two: If you had to choose, would you welcome the total elimination of day or of night? Would you like to live in total daylight or total darkness?
This is hard. Yeah. I think I would probably rather live in day. Yeah. Huh? I think so. Just because... I don't know. That's a hard question, but I'm going to stick with day. I don't know. I love sunlight. I do, you know?
Sunlight's good.
Yeah, I love being outside. Yeah. I love being outside in the sun. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
All right. Question three. It isn't a question. It's really a prompt. Tell me a happy but somewhat unremarkable memory of your childhood.
Happy memory.
Happy but unremarkable. Like, this wasn't like we went to Disney World. But instead it was like that time it rained and you baked cookies with your grandma.
Okay. Let me think here. Unremarkable of my childhood. Yeah, so I had a paper route when I was a kid, when I was like a teenager. So like my mom would go to work. She was an overnight nurse and my dad would be sleeping because he gets up like super early. So that was like my way of like hanging out with my friends. They would all stay at my house and we'd wait for the newspapers to show up and we'd hear them. The guy dropped the newspapers on the porch and then we would just run around town for like hours, you know what I mean? And none of my friends' parents knew anything. You know, my dad was sleeping, so we would just go out. And so that was just like my childhood. All summer, all my friends were at my house and we did this paper route and it just allowed us to just like
cause havoc. Yeah.
But yeah.
So did you live in like, cause I know like I had friends who lived in like the sort of more rural parts, like up Kane Road and stuff.
I was right by the church.
Oh, right by the church. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I lived on Church Street, actually. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, Carrolltown, man.
Yeah. Exciting place.
You know, I have fond memories of Carrolltown. I always like visiting Carrolltown. They changed the sheets.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I know.
You know, but...
It's a good... Sheets. I mean, it's a... I can't speak poorly of it. It was a great place. There just wasn't a whole lot going on.
Yeah, it's so isolated. It's weird how, though, it's, like, in the bubble of Ebensburg. Like, yeah. It's weird how, like, there's that little bubble of, like, places that are functional.
Yeah.
And Carrolltown is, like, the edge of it. And if you take 219 any farther north...
Yeah, I mean...
Shit gets weird.
219 ends, right? The highway, like, literally ends.
Ends, yes! In
Carrolltown.
Yes.
So...
By the way, have you ever been to... Fuck it. I'm going to ask this question. Have you ever been to Obsession Guitars?
Oh, my God. Yes. Greg. Groovy Greg.
What a weird fucking place.
Dude. Well, now it's always been weird. You're right. But,
I mean, nice enough, dude.
Yeah. I used to go in there and I would buy strings and I think I bought my first bass there, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought like a Gibson bass off of him. But... Like, you know, later he turned it into like, well, it's still a guitar shop, but then like half of the store was like a sex shop.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like, I was in, well, not this summer, but summer 2018. I had not been to Northern Cambria in 20 years.
Is it still there?
It's still there.
I am so shocked that place is still there.
Oh my God. So there's part of now the room, the sales floor that you're not supposed to walk on because the floor has gotten soft. Like, I'm in there browsing. He's like, oh, hey, buddy. Like, he's got, like, there's, like, eight people in there. And there's these, like, meth heads trying to sell stuff to him. And then there's this little girl who, like, wants an acoustic guitar for guitar lessons that she's buying a thing. And he's on the phone. And I'm walking over on the other side. And he's like, oh, hey, buddy, you don't want to walk over there. The floor is getting a little...
Wow.
And I was like,
does he still have the hair?
He still has the hair. He still has the homemade... Van Halen guitars in the display cases. There's not a price tag on anything.
Okay.
And I was just like, yeah, I'm just looking for weird pedals. And he's like, okay, well, let me take care of these people. You can have dinner here in town. I was like, what? And he's like, listen, I'm going to get rid of these people. You come back at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'll open the shop back up and I'll let you see what I got. And I'll set up some, I got some batteries and I'll set up an amp and a guitar and...
Whoa.
Yeah, and so I was like, my brain was screaming, run the fuck away. This is too weird. You know, no one knows you're here.
Yeah.
Like, I literally just got in my car and went somewhere, and I ended up there, and, like, nobody knows I'm here.
Wow.
There are these, like, weird methy people hanging out.
Well,
And then, you know, this guy I don't know, and he's like, yeah, we'll be alone.
Weird.
And so I came back, and I was at the door at 6 o'clock, and I was like, okay, this is my sign. Get the fuck out of here. And he comes around the car, like, oh, my man, you came back. And I was like, yeah. And he unlocks the door. And so it was me for, like, my theremin. And I was like, actually, I'm left-handed. He's like, I don't have any left-handed guitars. I was like, that's okay. I don't really play guitar very well. I play bass, kind of, but not really. And so the next thing he goes, well, you know what? Here, I'll play the guitar, and you can, like, I'll hook it up, and you can just, like, play with the knobs and adjust, and I'll put the clean channel. I talked to him for 3 hours.
Wow.
I talked to that dude for 3 hours. We had this super intense conversation about everything in the world. Wow. And then I bought, like, 2 broken pedals off of him for, like, $80. And I went home, and I told him I'd come back, but I haven't been back since.
Dude, I'm so surprised that place is still running.
That place is still there, and I think he owns that whole block.
Okay.
And I think that whole building, all those buildings are just full of stuff.
Wow, I'm not surprised.
Like, everything is, like, because that whole downtown Northern Cambria, every storefront is, like, piled floor to ceiling. With just stuff.
I haven't been there, and I mean, I haven't been through there in probably, like, honestly, like, over 10 years, maybe longer.
Yeah,
but
it's still there.
My friend used to get guitar lessons from him, and he would be like, "Okay, we're gonna take a break. Can you run this bag across the street and give it to this person?" So I remember, like, my friends would tell me he would, like, give them a brown paper bag. And they had no clue it was in it. He's just like, run that across the street. Still to this day, I don't know. But wow. But he was a nice enough guy.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy and stuff.
Yeah,
and
like 80s hair rocker, you know.
80s hair rocker. And like, yeah, I mean, his hammer-on solos were like...
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, wah, 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 you know, and I would be like, let's hit that and play with these knobs and like, yeah.
Groovy Greg.
Groovy Greg. Wild.
I have to get back there.
Yeah, no, it's an experience. I wouldn't go alone ever again, but
yeah.
It's an experience. And I have his business card. You can call ahead and be like, hey, you got any?
Yeah, yeah.
That was he said to me. He's like, next time, call ahead, and I'll find what you're looking for.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, he said, yeah, I have drawers full of pedals.
Damn.
He's like, I have hundreds of pedals.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's not surprising.
That's wild, man. All right, question 4? Yeah, question 4. Is there a text or work of art you wish had never been made? And Mein Kampf, that's too safe. Yeah, fuck Mein Kampf. Yeah, you don't want that. But is there anything you wish you could just take out of the world? Wave a magic wand and it never existed.
You said art?
Yeah, any art. Any text, and by text I mean book, music, film, anything.
Man, I'm not prepared for this. That's the point, I suppose.
Yeah, that is the point. Yes.
Maybe I'll take the easy way out and music. I could. Can I just rid a whole genre of music?
Yeah, what hit me.
From the world. Let me think. Because that's even hard, because I do kind of like a lot. Man, this is hard. This is really hard for me.
Yeah. The world would be a better place without. Yeah, that's another way of thinking about it.
Trying to think of something that I just like... Oh, man. You got me, like, seriously stumped. Like, oh,
that last Discharge record? Like, the reunion Discharge record, maybe?
Yeah, it's bad. I can, it's bad.
Yeah, that band ruined her legacy, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, if I have to pin it down, let's try to pin it down to a record that I wish just never exist. I'm trying to think of an album that I just, like... cannot stand, but
yeah, the band like ruined their legacy or
yeah,
or put a bad idea in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, screwdriver.
Yeah, I feel like that's a convenient one. I mean, obviously, that would be an easy one to say. Fuck, man. I'm just going to try to name a record that... This is really hard for me. I'm sorry.
It's all right. That's not good. This is good. We're
not fucking prepared for this. Man, I'm really dropping the ball here.
It's all right, man.
We
don't do any edits either, so it's all right.
Okay.
We just grip it and rip it, man.
Okay.
It's all great. Don't worry about it.
I'm trying to, like, think of something poignant. I just need something that's, like, just, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be poignant at all. Just, like, something that I don't like, but I can't even think of something that I'm, like...
Super annoying, popular song.
Okay, I'm gonna go with a band that I know will piss off a lot of my friends, too. Pantera. Fucking hate it. Yeah. I don't like Pantera.
Has not aged well.
It's not, like... Maybe that's a bad... This is probably...
No, that's a great...
This is probably a bad answer, because, like, I think they're the worst band in the world.
No.
I just have never fucking cared about Pantera. And my kid who used to drive me to school listened to Pantera every fucking day.
Oh.
And it's just, like, it... That, and just, like, the fact that I was just never... It just, like, it killed it for me, so...
Yeah, and, I mean, and there's the whole crypto-white supremacist thing with them.
Yeah, sure,
you know, and, like, the way that all ended, and...
All the kids from my town loved it, too, so maybe
that's awesome. Oh, yeah, that'd ruin it for me, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know that that's... Okay, so that's just, like...
That Pantera, yeah,
off the top
Pantera.
Of my head. That's it's probably one. Not the worst band in the world. I'm sure if I... thought more I could come
well
up
you know what
worse,
makes them worse but... it's a Schopenhauerian thing, right? Schopenhauer said that this is the worst of all possible worlds because it's just good enough to keep us going.
Okay, yeah,
and that's the Pantera is a Schopenhaueringly bad band because there's just a spark there that you're like, that could have been really good.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. What I mean, it's not like total poser shit, and
sure,
it's
sure.
Not really good. But there was enough of a spark there that you'd go, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen and keep listening and, yeah.
Sure.
So,
and
so,
I fucking love metal, dude.
Yeah.
And I even like, some, like, southern classic rock, you know? Which is, like, I feel like that they're kind of the hybrid of those things.
Yes!
And I just don't like it. I never... Yeah. So... I'm going with that just because I can't.
Pantera,
think of
love it.
All right.
Question five. You're almost through, and this one you only have 12 choices.
Okay.
Question five. What's your least favorite month?
Least favorite month would be January. No, because it's the start of the new year, so that's kind of like a maybe February. Because yeah, it's just like fucking grim and dark and like. It's already been winter for a while, and you're just over it, and, you know, yeah, February. It's the shortest month.
Yeah,
which is,
thank
I guess,
God.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm not a big winter. Like I said earlier, I love sunshine.
Love sunshine, which...
And being outside, so...
Yeah, but growing up in Northern Cambria County in the winter, though, in the Laurel Highlands...
Yeah, it was brutal.
That was a culture shock when I got out there, man. It's so fucking... It'll crush you harder than anything
yeah.
in the world, man.
And that's the thing, man, is like, yeah, like, I don't know, the weather definitely just affects me, and like, I don't know, I'm usually pretty happy when it's sunny, but then in the winter, it's just like, man, it's hard enough just to get out of bed, you know, so.
Feel you. Days are so short.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's about it. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it'll be about something. I'll get some more people on. You know, at some point, I'm going to get Jimmy on here.
Oh, that would be great.
That's going to be weird. So, yeah. So, again, Adam Thomas of Heavy Discipline, Chronic Abuse, Slip, Empty Beings, Concealed Blade, No Time.
Wow.
And formerly of Blood Pressure and a lot of other really cool bands. Thank you so much for being on there. And again, there'll be links to songs and band camps and YouTube videos and just everything when I post this. And it'll be found on our homepage where you can find new and old episodes, which is gonnadiepodcast.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, and I don't remember to put on Mixcloud, but there's a Mixcloud page, and one day there'll be a bunch of new podcasts on there, when I remember. Follow us on Twitter at Gonna Die Podcast, and We're All Gonna Die is on Facebook. Thank you to Andrew Fox for our groovy theme music, and thanks again, Adam Thomas, for doing this. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate
thanks for
it.
Thinking this was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
At least one of us thought it was a good idea. Later, meets. 2, 3, 4!